Well, come on.
Blog Talk Radio.
Blog Talk Radio. Hi, folks. This is Here Be Monsters, the Sunday show. I'm Gwendolyn H. Berry. With me is Jack Jodell. Hi, Jack.
Hi, Gwen. How are you today?
I'm okay. You're
good. Hi to all the listeners and people in the chat room, too.
There you go. We got Anita Stewart in there, and I know
great.
She's going to be calling in a little few.
Cool.
We're one of a drumline. I got to do my advertisements and announcements here.
Mm-hmm.
We're one of a drumline of indie radio shows that are boycotting the lies of the MSM, that would be the mainstream media, and providing the people with an alternative media choice, which is speaking truth to power. We broadcast in solidarity with the peacefully driven Occupy movement worldwide. This is our Sunday show, and the first thing on this Sunday show today is about the Occupy Oakland, and they need contributions. Okay, if nobody knows, Occupy Oakland had a little bit of an uprising yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
People got, even on the Occupy side, there was a lot of the mainstream media, of course, is portraying it as if Occupy is, you know, anarchist and sort of domestic terrorist, which is bullshit.
Exactly.
But they did arrest 400 people or over 400 people yesterday. Also, be calling in later. He was down there in the evening last
mm-hmm.
night, so he'll be able to give us some information.
Mm-hmm.
But Occupy Oakland is needing contributions for bail funding. And no, mm-hmm. they didn't all go funky, and they were not attacking the police. They were defending themselves.
Mm-hmm.
But they did break into an abandoned old government building, and of course that's blown into another story in the media, but it was just an old building they went into
mm-hmm.
To get out of the line of fire. You know, they were firing rubber bullets at them yesterday.
Sure.
But, yeah.
Just utterly ridiculous. You know, they treat these people like they're hooligans and gangsters and you know, riot artists, and they're not. It's just, you know, they're just concerned, angry people, and they're not hurting anybody. You know, they're just making their First Amendment rights known, and there's nothing
that's
wrong with that.
That's exactly what they're doing, and they're standing up at the 99%, which we all are doing these days.
Yep.
Even a lot of folks who support the current Democratic side of the ticket. So,
mm-hmm.
hey, listen. Here we are. Didn't hear anything at the State of the Union, though, about the people who've been brutalized by the concerted effort with Homeland Security and mayors and police municipalities all over the country that have been brutalizing these folks, my brothers and sisters, out there in the streets. I'm a little pissed at that.
Yeah, well, it was cleverly sidestepped, and I guess that's to be expected,
given
the background and history.
Language.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But anyway, so we want folks to go on over to OccupyOakland.org online, and you can find the information you need. There are a link to, even if you can only give $5, it really matters right now, folks. $5
sure.
here, $10 there, it all adds up, and it gets, you know, the bail funds needed. Police Chief Howard Jordan has been quoted in the Associated Press as saying there were almost 400 people arrested yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
There have been many who were arrested and need urgent medical attention. That's the point. It got nasty yesterday, Jack.
Yeah, that's nasty. I heard about it. I didn't see any footage of it, but I heard about it on the news, and it concerned me greatly because, you know, Oakland has a long history of not being very civil to demonstrators, let's put it that way. And,
yeah,
they proved,
that's to say at least, yeah.
They proved their point yesterday.
They absolutely did. And on that note, I'll open us up with our traditional segue in song, and I'm going to use the older version today, but let's just show our colors here with music.
Mm-hmm.
never be a union man, a thug for J.H. Blair. Which side are you on, boy? Which side are you on? Tell me.
So that's wonderful news, and congratulations to to Manny. And also, you know, we have our Monday night show with Anita Stewart, and she'll be talking about it when she calls in, but it's called Wise Woman Media, and she's putting some very vital ladies. All of us are the crones, okay?
Mm-hmm.
All of us older gals, she's bringing us on, and she's putting the information out there that needs to be heard about so many different topics that are not.
Now,
only
that's every
vital.
Monday, every Monday night?
It's
or
every
just...
Monday, every Monday okay. night at 8 p.m., yes, sir,
okay.
It is. Thank you for getting that straight. And hello to Mike Stimson. I guess Canada got here. I was going to say, I guess
Mike.
Canada got here. Do people still use that term? Wasn't there a team called the Canucks?
Well, there still is.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Howdy, cowboys.
Right.
So,
yeah.
You wrote a really wonderful post. I saw there your last post, Jack.
Is that the latest one on Saul Alinsky?
Yeah.
Right.
Saul Alinsky. Is Saul Alinsky the liberal icon with feet of clay, according to the conservatives? Yes.
Right. Well, he was the founder of modern community organizing, and he was so effective, in fact, that many of the Tea Party founders recommended reading his last book, which was called Rules for Radicals, because he was so good at getting angry people out to do things rather than just sit and complain or, you know, be depressed in their, you know, on their sofa, that he made quite an impact. And William F. Buckley even praised him. I mean, of all the people in the world, William F. Buckley Jr. even praised him just because he was so
yeah.
effective, you know. So... You know, the guy, and here's Mouthy Mitt, or not Mitt, but Newt Gingrich out there, I call him Nut Gingrich, out there mouthing off about him and how radical and anti-capitalist and all that stuff he was, and it's a bunch of crap. You know, he's just, he's trying to create his own history like he always does.
Hey, it's quite true. Saul Alinsky is part of the class description for the history of the last, 50 years of political history, contemporary
yeah,
politics.
He was actually active in the
He's
40s through
it.
The 60s, and
it.
He was quite a
yeah.
remarkable man and did a lot of unique ways to get people motivated and out there doing things. And even it got to the point where even his threat of doing something would sometimes bend the ears of the powers that be to be a little more accommodating or at least meet with some of these people.
Well, it's quite true. I know there aren't many people that are walking both sides, that bring both sides together anymore or get things into a place where folks are listening instead of screaming. You know,
right.
That like today, there's a lot of people. I've seen the back and forth going on in the social networks of people who are, you know, I guess you consider progressives, and then people who are committed and working within the Occupy. And
mm-hmm.
you can see the difference in the tweets. Yesterday, of course, was a day of darkness on the Twitter. No tweeting yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
Nanner, nanner, shame on you if you were tweeting yesterday, okay? No tweets, no
mm-hmm.
tweets when there's an action against Twitter. I think that David put it very well, Krell, when he wrote up on Friday, I think it was, and I quoted him on the Friday Mic Check show,
mm-hmm.
that Twitter is basically just... another, you know, allowing itself to be co-opted, branched over, taken
mm-hmm.
over by the government whenever they want to, and they will be this year because the social networks like Twitter that have been so, you know, he did that wonderful article on swarming and talking
mm-hmm.
about, I think, in the beginning when they were using the Nextel talkies in
mm-hmm.
at the financial meeting where he spoke about the swarming phenomenon, but
mm-hmm.
the point is, I'm sorry, I went off on a tangent there, didn't I?
Okay.
Jeez.
It's all relevant.
But Twitter is going to be, you can bet, we're in an election year. Facebook mm-hmm. and Twitter is riddled and rife with, like, they're like freaking termites crawling through the good wood mm-hmm. of communications for us folks on the street side. Mm-hmm. And they're nasty bastards. They're aligning with Homeland Security. Okay, I just got a 411 from the chat room. Pinko the Bear tweeted yesterday since Oakland was getting the beat down. Well, okay. Yeah, my sister broke it too because she wanted me to know what was going on with what do you call it? But the idea yesterday was to go dark on Twitter so that they would get the same message that the congressional
did over
action
SOPA,
got
yeah.
when we went dark online with SOPA.
Well, I'm proud to say during that dark episode, I didn't go online at all that whole day.
None
I
of
took
us
a day
did.
Off.
No.
Yeah.
Yeah. We all
right.
read.
So,
we all
and
went
so did Google. So did Google.
Yeah.
And so did Wikipedia. And that made a big difference.
Oh, and the business that was interrupted is incredible.
Oh, yeah. Right.
And we just don't realize how far into the system, the consciousness of this planet, we just don't realize how far in we are, because they didn't realize, Congress didn't realize what a huge difference it was going to make.
And they found out in a hurry.
Right. So as David was saying, Friday in the Journey with Roundtree 7 room over on Facebook, the really difficult situation is that they're going to have some kind of stranglehold on Twitter and on Facebook. And I think David was making the point that they already do. Mm-hmm. Twitter has opted to be able to shut a whole country down. So that means that their carriers, their servers, are set up in a structure so that, you know.
They can shut off protest movements at will.
Mm-hmm.
And you know what? That can't be. They need to be shut down first. That's ridiculous.
Well, remember, Twitter and Facebook and YouTube started it, the Arab Spring, Tahrir Square. A lady stuck her YouTube onto the air and said, you know, it's time we stood up. And she was supported and being networked by a couple of bloggers in a cafe down close to Tahrir Square. And that's how the uprising essentially began.
Right.
And Twitter was huge in it. You know, Occupy, how huge Occupy was in the latter end of September and through October. And, you know, it was the number one trender on Twitter, but never once was it put up there as the number one trender.
Mm-hmm.
So, and we're getting some feedback from the chat room. Pinko and Krell are in there typing really well. Major tool for our organization skills as protesters and demonstrators, and AKA the progressive or the left liberation movement here that is
right.
The
I
Occupy
like that
worldwide.
Term. I like that term.
No, do you?
Yeah.
Feel free to steal.
I will.
Pinko.
The left liberation movement.
It's all the more reason for us to get organizing on the local level, and he's quite right.
Mm-hmm.
He's also brought in another piece of breaking information here, which it would be great if it didn't go directly to a damn advertisement. I'm in the pause, honey. I get that momentary.
Oh, sure.
You know, brain.
Been co-opted by an ad.
Oh, yes.
Strictly forbidden on this show.
the India factory workers revolt, and they killed the company president. I had not seen that. I had not seen that the Indian workers killed the company president. That's terrible.
That is terrible, you know. And, you know, but let's on the other side of the coin, let that be a lesson to the 1% that want to exploit people everywhere across the world and profit immensely, like Mitt Romney does, off the poor working people of the world and export American jobs overseas to cheap foreign labor, slave labor environments. You know, enough of that stuff. That's crazy. That's
well, it's quite true. We have to bring the awareness up, and I think Occupy is doing a hell of a job. And you know, the thing is, by the way, I don't know if that. No, that's not 978 area code. Your mic is open. Welcome.
Welcome.
Hi.
Thank you. I've been listening. I didn't know how you picked me up because I just...
Yeah, good to hear from you again. Well, she has ways.
Okay, is this Jim?
Yes, it is. How you doing, Gwen?
Yeah, welcome back.
Hi, Jim. Welcome back. I didn't know. I have... The only one I recognize is David when he calls, and I recognize it. I sometimes don't even recognize Anita's.
Well, I got caught off guard. I didn't say anything because I called the number and I just instantly got this conversation while I was listening to you on the radio. So I didn't know if I...
You actually get a live time. When you're listening on the phone, it's called live radio. When it's listening through the chat room, it's delayed. Because you just never know how many times I'm going to say fuck this or fuck that, and there's no beeping. You know, hey, listen, F bombs are all right. They don't kill, as Pinko says. They don't kill anybody. It's
right.
The other kind of bombs that kill. So F bombs are okay here.
Right.
You know, I just wanted to say that I've been watching these news channels all day long, you know, MSN, MSM, and beyond the repeats about the occupiers running amok and all the arrests, I really have heard nothing. I mean...
Well, my sister was sitting here all day before, and I've taken notes on what the tweet from the street level has been. And I went and I looked at all the tweets that I got yesterday that I wasn't looking at. And from what I can gather, Oakland got upset with the police. Was there provocation on either side? I'm not so sure. But I do know this, that the mainstream media, AP and the San Francisco Chronicle, and those who have been...
the
mainstream, CNN and whatnot, repeating the AP wire information.
Yeah.
It's controlled information that's coming out of the community Politburo there in Oakland and out of the police chief's office. And that kind of stuff, you know, that I don't call duly diligent anymore.
No. They're putting forth a propaganda theme, and that's what it is. It's a theme that Occupy is nothing. It should be disregarded because it's just a bunch of crazy radicals. And you know what? We know otherwise.
Well, I'm sick of them getting away with calling them that, but they do. I mean, it's called the Republicans always complain that it's a left wing media, but it's not.
They're full of crap. They lie on that like they do with everything else, Jim.
Yeah, it's a right-wing media.
It is,
and
right.
It's sick then.
Yep.
Well, you know what, gentlemen? I wouldn't call it right-wing, and I wouldn't call it left-wing or Democrat or progressive. I would call it corporate media.
Yeah, exactly.
I think that hits the nail on the hammer.
And really,
real
by its very nature, corporate
is
rather right-wing.
Rush I got to tell you, it would be a breath of fresh air sometimes to hear Rush Limbaugh and being straightforward with you instead of the twisty, windy way that the MSM...
The hyperbolic nonsense.
Yes, will give you... he's actually broadcasting about 7 miles away from me every day. I'm often tempted. I never really hear him, but I'm often tempted to, you know, get him a little Vespa and go on, you know.
I don't know how you can breathe in an environment like that.
he's out of his home is in Jupiter. And he uses his actual studio is in his home in Jupiter, but he's in the studio right here in downtown West Palm Beach a lot too. So people at night write stuff on the glass window. they love them. Right. Well, it's right off the main drag, Clematis, where all the bars are.
Uh-huh.
So people, you know, have a few drinks and then have a few drinks more, and you know they're going by, oh yeah, that asshole Limbaugh, or they're going by it and they're going, here's our buddy Limbaugh's place.
Oh yeah, yeah.
It's like, good God, Gertie. Okay, so that's what goes on there. I think that there's probably, of course, you know, you push the demonstrators in Oakland, they're going to push back.
Mm-hmm.
I'm waiting for Al.
And the newsreels are just waiting to see that to convey that to the public.
Yes,
because
they can't wait to jump on it.
See videos from the people that are there. I have seen nothing.
Yeah.
Well, there's videos up the live stream. I reposted on Facebook a couple of times today on my page.
Oh, have you?
The live stream guy captured a lot. He captured the cops shooting rubber bullets into the crowd. He captured, you know, so there's stuff that's going on there.
But most people don't have access to that right now.
I've seen nothing about that, about the cops shooting.
Exactly. That's the point. Yeah, that's what we're upset about.
If some of the protesters caught it, how come they are not getting it out? That's usually the case, is it not?
You mean that the mainstream media will take what the Occupy movement is? Oh, hon.
Well, it gets out on the internet inadvertently, however, it does make its way.
It got out on the internet for 2.5 weeks, and the first one to address it and make it huge was a guy by the name of Olbermann on a non-plus cable channel called Current. And
TV,
if Olbermann hadn't begun to say there's something going on here and Michael Moore had not pressed, and finally said, what's the matter, you, with Rachel Maddow, you know, she was too busy wiping Obama's ass to fucking look and see what was going on right in her backyard. Boy, there's a difference between roads and roads these days. But the thing is, that if it's not, you know, the mainstream media, the corporate message right now is the thing is dying, it's nothing but a ghost, la, la, la.
Sure, in their mind, that's what's happening, but we know otherwise. But the problem, and I think Jim is identifying this too, that the problem
is
since it's not being covered by the mainstream media, a lot of people are missing out on it, and the coverage they do see is slanted against the movement, and so people are going to slowly but surely turn against it or think that it's a passe thing or that people are crazy that do it and all that other stuff, and we know otherwise.
They've got inflated as a bunch of fruitcakes and people are buying into it, and you know that you know, a bunch of street bums and thugs and people buy into
dirty
it.
Hippies, lazy welfare bums, you know, the whole gamut.
Oh, yeah. If I hear dirty hippie one more time, I'm going to insist these people start paying for my monthly pot allotment, you know?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Anyway, little humor there, people. Little lighten it up.
I mean,
I'm not kidding.
this is really a valid movement, and it's being sloughed off because it's really
true.
For the people.
You're right, it is, and it's nowhere near being a ghost. It's absolutely having actions going on at least two or three a week. Valid actions are happening.
Mm-hmm.
On Friday, I recap them or I give the schedule for them. Our local Occupy group here is very small. There's maybe 20-something core people that keep coming back, and yet we have all kinds of workshops that go on every week. Well, not all kinds.
Sure.
We have at least a workshop. We have stuff going on. We're not fading away. We've still got our corner of the street out there in West Palm Beach. And I'm wondering what is going on in Tampa, and the one person I know who can tell us is online, I think. Anita, are you there?
I'm here.
Hi, Anita.
Hi, how are y'all doing?
Good.
Good, good.
Jim Joyner is with us today. Anita, what have you seen going on with Occupy?
What do I see going on with the local Occupy?
Yeah, how's yours running?
Well, I know that they moved to a park where they're considered much safer. They're not on the street anymore. The park is owned by a local businessman who definitely has supported liberal causes and actions previously.
Oh, right.
And he was, since it was private property, the cops can't go up and harass them all through the different hours during the night, which is really what they were trying to do when they were on the street. They were trying to break them down, and they'd go and hassle them at midnight, and then 3 hours later they'd go and hassle them again, and then they'd wait a couple hours till like 5 a.m, and they'd go and hassle them again. All the people that were staying there weren't getting any sleep. They weren't functioning very well.
Well, they banned them from those parks today, didn't they?
I'm sorry, say that again?
Didn't they ban them from those parks today? So making it necessary to go to private?
I'm not sure where they banned them from, but this all happened, like, I'd say they made the move a couple weeks ago.
Mm-hmm. You're talking about Occupy Tampa, right?
Occupy Tampa specifically, yeah.
Right.
And, so this was a real plus in their favor, getting them, you know, in a safe area where they weren't going to be harassed anymore. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, there's local people supporting them and everything. I have not been able to go down there simply because I'm not working and I can't do the traveling.
Sure.
But as soon as I can get down there, I'll be down there to check out, maybe take some pictures and see what's going on and try to talk to some of them. We did have our Occupy the Courts protest last Friday.
That was motion to amend also was involved.
Yeah, move to amend / Occupy the Courts. And move to amend actually was the organization that made the call for that event to take place across the country. And by doing that, they were able to reach out to the local Occupy community and have them join with us so we could do this action together. So there, we had probably about maybe 20 to 25 people from the Occupy encampment came up and joined us on the federal courthouse steps. So,
could I say something? Just as somebody,
sure.
You guys are you were involved in the Occupy movement. I am pretty much a passive observer, and as a passive observer, I watch the news 15 hours a day, and every channel I can get my hands on, news sources on the internet, and you very slightly hear reference to Occupy the Courts, hardly nothing. And all these movements, you hear nothing. So nobody is getting any of this news except for those that are interested in it. I watch it all day, every day. I hear nothing.
Well Jim,
you won't see it on a lot of the mainstream sources, and you'll see it mainly. You'll see it in pick and choose situations. You'll see it like with Democracy Now! On Link TV with Amy Goodman. You'll see it covered extensively on her program. You'll see it on Keith Olbermann's Countdown. Countdown with Keith Olbermann on Current TV Monday through Friday. And you'll see it in a few other spots. But the mainstream media, by and large, has abandoned it because, it's not the in thing now. It's not the latest diversion. It's not the latest spectacle, you know. So they've just abandoned it. That's what we're complaining about, how ridiculous they are.
Well, how do
Jim, the other point is, too, that, you know, you have to watch that alternative media, actually.
Right.
Olbermann and Amy Goodman and Young Turks, they've gone from alternative to a cable resource for the truth, okay? Mm-hmm. Let's just put it there. Let's not call them progressive, liberal, or whatever. Just call them
the truth. Right.
To speaking truth back to the rest of the media. The other thing about this Occupy movement, one of the very important elements of it, and I think Anita will probably back me up. I know Pinko's going to back me up because we're all doing shows, is conversations like this on Blog Talk Radio carry the truth of the matter to other people, or at least the other side of the street, to people. Alternative journalism, whatever you want to call it, and the live streams of all of the different Occupy movements that are putting the spokes meetings and everything up, where you'll see somebody like Michael Moore walk in very quietly and just sit down in a given city and listen to what's going on and be there for moral support. They say that, one of the big reasons that we're all looking for the information is because we're being taught to utilize forms of media and communications that are going to be necessary to achieve the ultimate goals of this whole, if you will, worldwide revolution or evolution, whatever you choose to see
hopefully
it in the lens of.
Mm-hmm.
And we're all being asked to basically develop new systems of communication and also to do the work for ourselves, not to sit as passive to the news and be fed shit by, you know, Brian Williams or, you know, Bill O'Reilly or even AC360, who I like off and on, or even another. Really, I really admire Christiane Amanpour, but since she knows too that she's speaking crap most of the time.
Yeah, since she signed up with ABC, she's not what she used to be.
Right, she's realizing she's sold out. But here's the thing: we're being asked not to just take a passive look at the world going on around us. We are being actually impulsed here to go out and do the work and find out. I mean, I admire Anita. Anita goes and listens to every whack job, every valid factual report, she listens to all of it, and she uses her instincts, her intuition, and what she gets back from what she
That's
sees
what they have
going
to do.
On. Yeah.
Yeah, and just use Google. You know, just Google whatever you're interested in or whatever you want to learn about. You're going to find something, at least, you know.
That's what I do. That's all I do.
Well, what I did, let me tell you what I did so you can have an idea. I went into the news, Google News, just now, and I'll tell you what I got back. My search parameters when I went into Google News were Occupy the Courts. Mm-hmm. So all the news articles come up. Now, the first one that comes up is the webpage from movetoamend.org/Occupy the Courts. But the two entries down, Occupy targets courts over campaign funding, CBS News, January 20th, 2012. And then down below that it says there's 901 news articles. So when you look at how much coverage this might have been included, I mean, it might not have been on the evening news that you watched that night.
Right.
It might have been on for only a minute, and maybe you went to the bathroom, or maybe you went and got something to eat, or whatever.
True.
But
yeah.
In any case, these events were scheduled across the country. So that means that those were newspaper articles. Those were little blurbs on local TV stations all across the country. And what right now I'm going to just click into that because that's a hyperlink. All 901 news articles is a hyperlink. So I'm going in, and I'm actually able to look at every single article and where it came from. And I'm looking at Wall Street Journal, Huffington Post, Fox News, Boston Globe, and so on and so on.
What would Edward R. Murrow have said?
He would have been very encouraged by the internet and social media.
I mean, and I think that really what Anita is explaining gives people sort of a very clear recognition of just how much information is out there. I mean, it's no wonder that Arianna Huffington had the brilliant idea she did to aggregate news from several sources.
Mm-hmm.
It's too bad
yeah.
it didn't work out.
Yeah, well, the Huffington Post is still a good resource, as are a number of the other ones that Anita mentioned. And you know what? The point of this whole thing is that we can't just be served the news anymore. We've got to look for it. Because it's out there. We're just not getting it, or we're getting it in little tiny, tiny sound bites. And that's not enough. If you want real news, you got to look for it.
That's quite true.
Yeah, because you're not going to get it from your local news.
Right.
And you're not going to get it from one channel. You're going to get it from multiple channels.
Right.
And you have to really be on top of things. And doing an internet search like I just did takes seconds.
Right.
So I guess the point I'm trying to make is just because you didn't see it, doesn't mean it didn't happen and doesn't mean the information didn't get out there.
Literally,
you know?
You have to search it out. And a lot of times you don't find the best sources right here in this country. A lot of times they're overseas, and that's where
that's very true. Very true.
But,
use foreign news a lot. I use foreign news sources a lot because I get a lot more information from those. And then usually if they're reporting it one way and the U.S. media sources are reporting it another, the truth is somewhere in the middle.
Exactly.
So,
you know, they used to say, you listen to the left. It's not a left and right issue anymore to me, but you listen to the left and you hear one thing, and you listen to the right, you hear something else, and the truth is somewhere in the middle. The truth is nowhere to be found anymore, and you're right. But most people, you know, you have to search it out, but most people don't realize that.
Right.
Most people don't have, well, first of all, I don't think they really have the time or inclination to actually search out the way you and I do, Jim.
Most people will accept what they're fed, you know?
They're fed crap, so they'll accept it. I'm not buying that one anymore either, Jack. It's just that people still don't have the time.
Oh, that's
to
true too,
go
though.
And search it out, and yet they're also realizing, they're knowing that they're getting fed a bunch of crap, and they're looking on other channels like Current, and oh dear, Oso was on the line and he dropped. I hope he'll get back on.
Yeah.
What do you call it? It basically
TV and another alternative news media.
Instead of watching MSNBC or Fox or CNN, a lot of people are actually convinced that CNN is unbiased.
Used to be years ago, not anymore.
I used to think that. But
the correct term is used to.
I thought MSNBC was going to save us after Fox, but then they're all biased.
Yeah.
And
well, they're all owned by major corporations. That's why.
Yeah.
The correct term is used to. I thought MSNBC was going to save us after Fox, but they're all biased.
Well, they're all owned by major corporations. That's why.
Can anybody hear me?
Not
yeah,
really.
We
I
went into
just
a weird echo
call
thing
back
there.
Again.
Yeah.
Oh, we've got a weird echo going on. Sorry, gentlemen. We got an echo going on there.
Okay, so.
Tim Pinko has been observing from the chat room our conversation. And he's basically making a point, which as someone who worked in print media or newspapers for a long while, I realized that due diligence, the truth is the truth of events, what happened. The other truth is that middle place we were talking about where we have to decide what the truth is. But the truth is the truth of events, and that you have to go out and actively search for anymore. And you have to make a reasonable guess or choice.
And you have to make an evaluation. And
yes,
and
you do.
You know, you still stand a chance of being wrong, but you're more right than either side. I mean, you know, we discussed it last week that, you know, lying's the new truth. Everybody lies. Because, you know, the left, one side wants you to think that what they're telling you is the truth, that's their version. And so goes the right. But who cares about any version? I mean, I always thought that the truth mattered, and that was it. When you reported what you saw, not what you want everybody to think you saw, you know, to know went on, but the truth.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't matter anymore.
Well, it does with us and many others.
Well, it does to us, but you know, on MSM.
Well, let's take it for granted that everybody knows that because they were told that the truth is that President Nixon had nothing to do with the breaking into the Democratic headquarters at Watergate, you know? But
yeah.
It took a while, but the truth of that was a whole lot different. So, you know, and also remember, it wasn't just Woodward and Bernstein that were reporting that at the time, although they did the reporting that made the difference. And their integrity was pretty impeccable. It's gone another direction, but it was very impeccable. And, you know, finding the truth is a matter of you're going to have to make a judgment call somewhere to what the truth is, unless the lens, the camera lens, captures it, you know?
Right.
Yeah, but and the thing is that journalism really is reporting. It's nothing like most of us get our news from. Network news, ABC, NBC, and CBS, those network newsies are basically giving you facts, but they're giving you the version of facts by whatever corporation supports that news program.
That's right.
I can guarantee that.
But that's not the way it's supposed to be.
Right.
No, but, you know, there was a guy by the name of Randolph Hearst that said, screw that, it doesn't sell papers.
Oh, yeah.
His seat is filled in a guy like Murdoch, you know?
Yep. Mm-hmm. He was the Murdoch of his time.
He got us involved in the
Spanish-American War.
He was the big Magilla. Well, look what's going on right now as far as getting us involved with bombing Iran. I mean,
well, there you go.
Is the mainstream media driving that signature anywhere down the road right now? You know,
sure.
And basically that's
just like they did with Iraq.
Yes, but you know what? This is not coming out of conservative Republicans right now.
Right.
This is coming out of the White House.
Yeah.
You know, this is support Israel, and this is support, you know, and we all know it's a con job. That's something that's a truth. From my point of view, because of the experience I've had with the past, what I can see we've done and we've been there, it is something that I've accumulated the data on and reasonably concluded that it's the truth. that going, you know, we're supporting a bunch of petro-politics over there with Israel. And worse, I'm sure you can say. But that's something that is coming up. That's an actual reality. It's not being shot down by the White House. Mm-hmm. The White House press secretary is not shooting that completely down. He's rewording it.
Mm-hmm. Right.
What are we supposed to figure out from that?
Well, time will tell to the exact nature of it, but we already know that we're getting fed a line, you know?
Well, we are. We absolutely are getting fed some kind of line here.
To what extent it will develop into, we don't know, but we certainly hope it'll be a good one, but we don't know, you know?
That's quite true. Who is paying attention right now to what's being said, what the conversation is about on as far as the presidential election? You know, Mitt Romney is using his basic, as far as I can tell, what I've heard and seen of him being filmed and the film footage being shown on television, his main thrust is being proud of America, how a CEO knows how to fix all of these problems, and how the 1% are the best in the whole of the world, and they want the best for all of the 99%.
He's got an uphill battle in trying to convince the rest of us of that.
Yeah, I don't really think he has the spine. I didn't when he was here in Massachusetts.
No.
I don't think he has the spine. I think he's a good manager, but being a CEO is different than being a president.
Exactly.
This is,
a good president serves the people. A good president goes into office to serve the people, and he's happy. You figure he's going to have either the wisdom or the brains to delegate the authority integritously correct to a person who has the CEO or business skills required to go in and tell Wall Street they're a bunch of fucking crooks and we're going to put you all on trial for the crap you pulled.
Mm-hmm.
But no, we got Timmy Geithner.
No,
you know?
Yeah. Well, the nice thing is he says he won't come in for a second term, so that's fine.
Well, and also the president, Matt Taibbi, who has been keeping an eye from the very beginning on this whole bankster debacle, has said on Countdown this week that he's going to give the president a chance to make good. And I feel badly for him.
Yeah.
somebody buy him a drink wherever he is, wherever he's watering right now, because, geez, that's a, well, we lost Anita. I do want to remind everybody who's listening that Anita does our Wise Woman Media show on Monday evenings at 8 p.m., and she gets great guests on talking about some really topical stuff.
Yeah, go Anita.
Also, we've got Pinko in the chat room, Pinko the Bear. Please remember, a little plug for the Pinko the Bear show. He's up all night with Pinko. He's straight up midnight his side of town, which is the West Coast. He's in Reno, Nevada, and it's about 3 a.m. You got to tune in here on the East Coast. But, you know, it's actually very worth it. Jim, I think you'd enjoy Pinko the Bear.
Well, he has archives too, though, doesn't he?
I'm sorry.
He has archives at his site. You can go and listen to old programs.
Oh yes, absolutely.
Good. So
absolutely.
There you can get a taste.
Yeah, of course I'm going to plug the Bear. you got to do the Bear. He's absolutely wonderful. Jim, you said something. What did you say?
Well, so if I just wanted to turn it on and listen to it, where would I go to do that? I mean, how do I even know? This is the first I've ever heard of this. I mean,
Pinko the Bear show.
Yes, I mean, how does
First of all, you can hear Wise Woman Media right here on Blog Talk Radio. You go to the same Blog Talk Radio, Fear Be Monsters link. And you can find the Wise Woman Media show come up on Monday nights. And in generally, she posts one in the Journey Round 37 room. If she doesn't, I do. Pinko the Bear, he comes on so late that you often don't see when he's posting, but he does. You can go to iTunes, to the podcast section, to be easier to hear Pinko. You put in Pinko the Bear Show on Blog Talk Radio. I found it. I downloaded it to my iTunes. It uses the RSS feed thing. So you can download. Do you have iTunes, Jim?
Yes, I'm writing, by the way. Yes, I do. I'm going to check this all out. So I'm Joe Blow. How does he know that this even exists? I'm getting back to what I said a while ago. You have to just be curious and search and get lucky?
Well, you have to search specifically for things, and one by one they're going to lead you there.
To
find out about Pinko the Bear and these other things too, you know. Since it's not carried on mainstream media.
I found out about you from Roundtable 7, and you know, I got lucky. I mean,
right.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
Yeah.
I tell you what. This is what I have learned in the last couple of years, Jim. And this is how I've gotten so much information. First of all, yeah, I do listen to I do listen to I hope you can hear me. My show page just went away. What do you call it? I'm waiting for it to reboot. Oh, my dear.
Well, Gwen, you know what you could do, too? On your website, or on Roundtree 7, for that matter, you could post a number of links in just an article on various sources that people can go to for good, realistic news.
That would help dummies like me.
Right.
We do post a lot. Jim, there's also another page that we all go into quite a bit. There is the Wild Wild Left link, and there's another page which you have to ask to join. It's for up, but it's very, very uber liberal, leftist. Bordering on anarchy, but I'll tell you what, you get some of the greatest information. And here's the other part, too. Guys like Brian Stetton, who have started rooms like our Pakistan and Friends and Pakistani Friends and Worldwide Infantada, you get to know people from, I have friends in Pakistan, and there are military people also in these chat rooms that are getting in touch. Who knows, maybe they're even in there just to find out what they can through the military. Who cares? They contribute. We all get to know one another. I mean, it's a whole different world when you develop friendships and relationships, Jim.
And it grows and grows and grows.
Yeah, Iran, I've got friends in Iran. I know about, I talk to them and ask them questions about what's going on with your Green Party. We too often forget, like Pakistanis and the Indians may forget, we're not Americans, the government, when we're on Facebook or in the social networking. We are just people all reaching out to one another. And
right.
It's funny, but social networking has enabled us to dissolve the boundaries of, my country is better than your country or my God's better than your God stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, stuff pops up. But,
well, that has to be eliminated. But that's only going to be eliminated on our level because you're never going to get the government
right.
to think like that. Ever.
Right. But if enough of us act, if enough of us act and take advantage of these things, pretty soon everybody's it's going to be within everybody's realm.
Yeah,
I see what you're saying, but it just brings me back to the fact that only the as far as the government is concerned, I mean, you've been told since Bush, you're going to be on your own if something happens. I mean, to the government, only the government matters. If for the people, well, you've seen it with all the disasters, man-made and natural, that have occurred.
Sure.
The government hasn't come to your rescue. It's the people.
Right.
Taking care of each other.
You're quite right, Jim. I agree with you. It's about community and developing, sustaining communities. But I've been for that way before. My thing was the reason I campaigned so hard for the current president was because I believed what he had said, or I took for granted that he was telling the truth when he said that he was an environmental green leaning president. And I basically read his book and allowed myself to be guided that his politics were the same as the audacity of hope, and that was not true. That wasn't true at all.
We've reached the end of our hour, unfortunately.
Oh, wow.
Time flies when we're having fun.
It's quite true.
Nice to hear from you again this week. I thought I noticed that this was from 6 to 8. What do you do after this? Are you just done?
I always schedule the slot for 2 hours in case we run over. But we're basically a one-hour Sunday show, Jim. I schedule 2 hours in case we got some. And so in that vein, please finish your train of thought here.
Right.
And the questions you were asking.
Well, you brought me to something else. But before Obama was elected, I was sitting with a friend of mine having some beers who happens to be a scientist for the government, and he's an anthrax specialist, and he's doing nuclear research for them right now. But he said that Obama was going to get elected, and he'd be all right. Besides, he told me some things that went on in the anthrax that made me realize I've been right all along, that the whole thing was a lie. But he said as long as Obama continues these wars, and he is,
mm-hmm.
and he's expounding on them, they will let him live. Mm. And he said if he starts getting in their way, you know, he plays his little games with healthcare, they'll let that go. But he says as soon as they start getting in their way, he's dead.
Mm.
So we'll see. I firmly believe he's going to get reelected.
I think
so
too.
I think he's a Wall Street banker's glory. They like him, and so do the guys who do the mechanizations.
He's probably better than a Republican, from what I can see. I don't see any difference.
I think even Jeb Bush would give you that. I really do. You should see, you should see the commercials we're exposed to on the television down here.
I bet you're inundated with them.
Well, my sister gets Link TV, and she said Link is just filled with Newt Gingrich commercials, and current TV.
Link TV?
They're
filled with. They don't have any commercials.
You got to remember, down here, it's all subsidized through a cable company.
So they break in on it. Oh, that's terrible.
Yeah.
Oh, really? So they can listen in on you and break it off?
Well, it's the like Comcast down here, local. You put on so many minutes of local commercials, and then you put on so many minutes of national commercials.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it depends on. There's all these little, you know, channels.
Well, they shouldn't
down
be breaking
there
into Link, because Link is a separate feed and it's completely non-commercial. So that's really terrible. With that, I'm going to leave you folks, but I want to wish you the best till a week from next week, because next week's a Super Bowl. And
enjoy the Super Bowl, Jack.
Yeah,
thanks a lot.
And I'll talk to you again on the 12th.
All
Okay.
All right. Good night, wow, to everybody.
Good night, Jack.
Good night.
Well, Jim, that leaves you and me.
Well, you guys, you know, you educated me because, you know, I caught you, like I was starting to say, I tried to invite somebody else over to our little group here. And he said, yeah, I've heard about it before. I'm on, he's just on, I don't know which show he's on, but he says, yeah, there's a whole string of them. And I never knew that.
Yeah, well, we're Wildlife Left with Diane G., Brian Stenton, and Ruthann Amatafio, I think is her name, do Progress Towards Democracy. Of course, there's Pinko the Bear and myself with Jack, and then there's Manny Jelonsky with his Practicing Tomorrow show that and Anita's. Wise Woman Media. They're different shows, even though they're produced by Here Be Monsters or on this channel here. And I'm really happy that I can work with people like Manny and Anita and offer them some time on Here Be Monsters. And we're all supported by the blog Roundtree 7. Now, you have a blog. It's called The Average American Patriot, right?
Yes.
Uh-huh.
Yes.
Well, you should always plug that, you know, so you get people to go over and take a look at what your ideas are, because that is what is informing the country, is speaking your truth to power allows people to open their minds broader. I wish Pinko would have called in. I know he does Skype and other things. Sometimes he's not communicating. But Pinko had an idea of, you know, there is just the truth. Well, the way I learned it in school, it's the, you know, who, what, where, when, and how. And it's basically there's only one objective truth to events, but there is interpretation, and basically we've always had that from every reporter, writer, or journalist who's ever, I mean, and
I've never seen it in my life. I've never really paid attention. I was naive. I used to think that if they reported it, then it was the unbiased truth. That's the way it's supposed to be.
We all did that for a long time. I mean, I grew up that way. I was pissed off as a kid, as a teenager, as the surfer. I was pissed off about a lot of things, but I took them for granted as journalistically true. I mean,
yes.
You know, when I went into school, one of my heroes was Barbara Walters, because she was a woman who interviewed all these world leaders. I mean, she really, she had the creds as far as I was concerned.
Uh-huh.
I wouldn't give you two figs for what she has to say. And when she went in and did that interview with the president of Syria, it was just, to me, smoke and mirrors and a bunch of gloss to get ratings and more puff up her back dress for who she is. It had nothing to do.
Well, unless you listen to somebody like you said, Christiane Amanpour, I mean.
Oh, she was terrific.
She's good.
Oh, sure.
You're not going to hear the truth anywhere else. You know, there are a few people, not that many, but you have to hunt
yes.
the pack.
Yes, it's valid. And it is. The good thing about it, though, Jim, the good thing about all of this, I would say, is that we are being, you care about what the truth is and what is going on in your country. That makes a huge difference. So you're going to look for the information, the truth, as it were. So you're out there. It's forcing you to not be passive. It is forcing you to go out. And you have been for how many years have you been writing that blog? I've been reading it for a couple. I know.
Six, I think. 90, I think, yes. Well, no, six.
Okay.
Because, you know, I stopped putting it in books because it was just moving too fast. And
you've done a heck of a job. I don't always agree with you, your position. I always respect it. And my point, again, being you have been impulsed to make a contribution to the information that's going on out there. And I think this is huge. Pinko has his point with objective experiential truth as the events occur. But there's also the truth of how America is interpreting it, you know. There's that, I do think, that place. And we have actually a caller coming in, and since I do have the time up there, I'm going to answer the phone here. Hang on, Jim. You know. Okay, so caller 267 area code. Who have I got?
Hi, this is Brian calling from Pennsylvania.
Hello, Brian. How are you?
I'm doing great. Just listening to your show, I just had a few points I wanted to add that I was trying to make on the board, but I guess not everybody believes in debating and free speech. But, you know, my problem with Occupy Wall Street, and I think it's great when people get involved in politics, and I've just seen these movements come and go. I'm only 34, but I saw the Tea Party movement start off in the beginning before it became a Republican-based movement, and their biggest issue was auditing and abolishing the Federal Reserve, getting out of the wars. I mean, you know, real issues that were different from the mainstream. And my problem with Occupy Wall Street is that I've just seen in the 6 months since that Occupy Wall Street started, we've seen you know, the largest trade agreements since NAFTA in the 1990s. We've seen the passage of the National Defense Authorization Act. We've seen the war drums beating for Iran. We've seen horrific legislation aimed at censoring the Internet. And I'm just, you know, I want to believe that something good's going to come out of this movement, but I've just seen movements like this come and go before. And all at the end of the day, it just seems like most people, whether they want to admit it or not, are going to vote for an establishment Republican or establishment Democrat.
Brian,
so I guess my question is, why shouldn't I be skeptical?
Well, you're discussing all of these really terrible things that have happened, and DAA and such, and the war drums for Iran. But you said you've seen them almost as if you're saying because Occupy has happened. You aren't saying that at all, are you? You're just asking why is Occupy not more effective at reducing this kind of political corruption and damage? Is that your point?
Well, not really. I guess my question is, why should I have faith that this movement in the long run is going to mean positive change when in the beginning when the movement's has gotten a lot of attention, when there have been a lot of people out there that we've had some just horrific legislation being passed, and when I haven't really seen any positive, tangible results come, because it's great when people get together and protest, but if nothing changes, well, then to me, you know, what does it mean in the long run?
You're not going to see
basically, I would say, you know, if you haven't seen any major shift, the shift in conversation finally in this country, when alternative cable media and news began to report and the mainstream media had to pick it up from the events that were occurring that became brutality with the police. okay, Pinko. Basically, I think that what you have to remember is they shifted the whole conversation in this country. We're talking about under 100,000 people up against the conscious mass of America, which is how many hundred million, and they're shifting the whole conversation. I see that as a very tangible. Also, I'd like to bring to focus, too, the fact that they stopped SOPA in its tracks. That was Occupy that did that. They've also put a real hitch in military spending. I think you can look at Occupy and see because of all the outrageous spending and what they're talking about, unlike what the Tea Party brought to the table. Occupy is people who are also nonviolent. They're
their message is intelligent, it isn't just xenophobic rhetoric. Excuse my stammer there, Brian.
Yeah, but it's being reported as just the opposite.
But then people are seeing, because people have computers and millions of people like Twitter and they're catching stuff on Twitter. This is where this alternative media comes so strongly into focus with all of this. And you have folks that are starting to pay attention and bring more attention to the issues that are ground zero for Occupy, like Wall Street. Did you hear what the president said in his State of the Union about
the criminal aspects of what happened in 08 with the banksters? He actually
voted for the bank bailout.
I beg your pardon, sir?
But the president's been doing this for 4 years. You know, when he needs to, he can strike the right populist notes. But when you look at his voting
record,
I'm saying. I'm an independent here, so all I'm saying is, you know, the president can give great speeches, but when you look at the voting record, whenever there's an important vote to be made, he votes on the side of the banksters. He votes for more war. He votes for globalization. You know.
Agreed.
That's just how it is. And he gave a story, he's given speeches like this before whenever he's out on the campaign trail stumping. And if you didn't look at the voting record, you think that this guy's an anti-establishment Democrat. But the fact of the matter is, when you look at his voting record and you look at his background at Harvard and Ivy League and all the people he surrounded himself with, he's an establishment as they come. Now, SOPA did get stopped, and that's a great thing, but they have another global international internet regulating treaty which would do the same thing, which could be worse. I think it's called ACTA. As far as military spending goes, they've talked about cutting military spending, but at the same time, we're encircling Iran, and we're trying to make this embargo stick, which is essentially an act of war.
And we're messing with China and Asia.
And Russia.
Yeah, and they're talking cutting the military. They talk cutting the military all the time, and every time they do it, they get it wrong. I mean, they've never gotten it right,
well,
and they're not going to get it right this time.
Let me find the focus here. You spoke about Occupy and what is Occupy doing for you type of thing. In reflection of what you are seeing this president and the country, the government running the country doing as far as actually any change, there's nothing there. You just hit a whole lot of high points of how this president actually does operate. But are you saying that Occupy I'm wondering what you mean. You don't have much faith in it. Well, you have to roll up your sleeves, Brian, and pitch in, because we are bailing the dinghy out while the wave is crashing down, for sure. Like I said before, you've got a few hundred thousand people in the Occupy movement in this country, a couple of million on a worldwide basis, coming against 7 billion people on a planet and over 300 million in this country. So the fact alone that Occupy has been created and is a actual state of mind in the world, not just this country, influencing the conversation of politics and finances and moral values on a worldwide level. I mean, it is accomplishing that much. So I'm wondering, are you thinking that it's failing to do its job, and that's your point?
No, failing to do its job. I just look at it this way. I remember when the Tea Party started in 07, and a lot of people forget this. You know, and it needs to be pointed out. Their single biggest cause was an audit and an abolishment of the Fed. This is even before the bank bailouts, but this is before everybody.
Oh, I know.
This is when everybody knew that the economy was going to go downhill. And the movement was small, and the people were true believers. And I was really excited about that because I think that, you know, when you can't have a private central bank run your country and expect that the power, they're not going to abuse their power. And I was very excited about it. Now, and what I was trying to point out on the board, but apparently, you know, to some people, if you even debate these points, you're considered an idiot because some people aren't capable of debating. But
I think you have a valid point.
But the point I'm making is, you know, and I wasn't trying to start some kind of an argument or dismiss the movement, but what I'm saying is I've seen movements like this before. They start off great. As the movements grow, they become co-opted, and they become co-opted by the establishment. So, look, I want the movement to succeed. And if you got things happening like these thugs in Oakland beating up people for exercising their right to free speech, I hope these kinds of things are exposed. I mean, I want anti-establishment movements to succeed. But I've just seen enough of these movements come and go. So I think it's way too early to say whether it's going to succeed or fail. But I also think that even, you know, after all the attention the movement's gotten, if the movement was that successful, and I know it's you know, like I said, it's 100,000 people or a couple million against 7 billion, whatever, however you want to say it. But I've just seen a lot of bad legislation come through in 7 months, and bad legislation that's even aiming at, you know, preventing people like you from expressing your viewpoints on the Internet, which is, you know, the one place you can go to if you don't want to, you know, hear the mainstream media give you their propaganda.
Quite right. I hear what you're saying more clearly.
But that's all I'm saying. It's not. I'm not saying the movement doesn't have good aims. From the movement.
No, I think I see where you're coming from. Your apathy is sort of pouring out. And I don't mean it to sound bad, but you're justifying the apathy that you feel about any movement to make any kind of a difference, is what I'm getting. But I would say to you something along the lines of, and not to put myself in a category or a generation or anything like that, but I would say you got to have faith. Faith is a biggie right now. You have to keep your sleeves rolled up, and you have to you can't abandon your convictions or the work you're willing to put into it. A lot of people, I mean, do you know how many people for how many nights in Occupy Wall Street? Let me give you just a little smidgen of what it comes down to on the street level. There are people who had no job. They left home from, like, Iowa, traveled when those email blasts were coming out of Vancouver to Occupy Wall Street on the 17th. They left home. They took a bedroll. They took all the cash they had, and they made a commitment, and they said, I'm going to go down there. I'm going to be part of that. Those people are still in New York City. They go from event to event, and in between every day of action, they are fucking homeless. And that's just the truth of the matter, and there are thousands of them down there who are doing that. It's people don't get those human interest stories very often, but they're real, they're happening. They live in churches or homeless shelters in between events and days of action, or any place that Occupy is going to occupy again, like several homes in Brooklyn or what have you. But they're committed. They're there. I know that P.E. Nolan, Tricia, who's part of Roundtree 7 and who has reported for Here Be Monsters from Occupy Wall Street for us when it was at Zuccotti, puts up Punk Patriot, Ashton, and also Dennis Traynor from time to time when they're down filming and doing what they can to record the movement. My point being, and coming to a conclusion with all of this stuff, is that there are people who are still in Denver who came from other small towns to be there, who are sacking out on people's couches. They all are out of work. They go to events. They work the social networks. They do what they can to support Occupy. Occupy isn't a ghost. It isn't dead. It's there are also people, the grad student that was my roommate here, Cece, she and her buddy Amira went, and you'll hear also
you know, talking about Amira, because he met her out there. They took all their money, pulled it together, and they flew out and then hitchhiked to Oakland with nothing, just to be part of the Oakland Occupy group, and they're still there. And between events and stuff, they're staying with people. They're, you know, I mean, people have that kind of commitment to this thing, and it's not just America. It's down here in Miami, you hear the same kind of stuff. People in London, they're going to court in places like The Hague to keep their property there. People, this is worldwide, and it's ongoing. And Brian, I think all my conversation here is about telling you that there is a solid motion going on in a worldwide way right now. It's not just, and you have to have faith, and you have to do the legwork.
Well, I think all that's true, and believe me, I'm skeptical. I haven't lost faith. I'll always have faith that you can implement positive change. I think if you lose faith, I mean, what's the point of living? So my hope is that ultimately this movement over time will grow and attract more people, and
yes,
that you will, you know, not see horrific legislation the likes of which we've seen the last 6 months.
Yeah.
Because after all, the point that's always been made for years is that the one advantage we have against the elites, there are a lot more of them than there are, a lot more of us than there are of them. The problem is always that the masses are always divided, class, political, racial lines. There's always something that divides the masses, and it makes it impossible for us to effectively implement change
mm-hmm.
and battle the elites, because these global elites have just become so powerful. I mean, they have just an unbelievable concentration of wealth, of money, and just a complete disregard for human life.
Well, it's quite true what you're saying, Brian. But also what's very true is that, people are committed. They're making their commitment count by taking action whenever they can. And something that I always try to get into these shows before we go away is that bringing up the conversation and making more people aware of it. You know, there's a lot of people who believe in the Occupy movement, who have given time to it, have showed up to Occupy meetings around themselves, but felt maybe it wasn't strong enough or united enough, whatever. And they didn't feel as if they were going to contribute to anything that had a chance. And when that kind of, you know, you just can't get into that. There's no room for apathy in this.
The other point being, you're talking about the division of people, but I've got a couple of friends who are pretty good writers on all of the dissent and everything that's going to hacking down what we used to call the middle class right now. You can go over to Diane G's Wild Wild Left and take a look, or over to Roundtree 7 and read some of the information those guys have compiled. The thing is that, we got this wonderful gift from the president when he saved the auto industry in this country, but he ruined the unions in order to do it, and he put the carpet out there for the rest of whoever wanted to take issue with unions to begin doing so. But you see how the people have responded to that. I don't think you can point to anything as grand as what happened with the unions in Wisconsin. The middle classes is falling away, and when people are on that even playing field, you know, when everybody is the same, when everybody's turning to one another to help bring the groceries in, when communities begin to sustain themselves and neighbors begin to talk about the same issues that are not being addressed by the government, then Occupy becomes something more valuable to them. That's the only thing I could say about it, you know?
Well, I just want to thank you for taking my call, and I'd like to call in again sometime in the future, and all the best. I think you have a great show.
Oh, thanks, Brian. Really appreciate it. Really do, sincerely. And please feel free to call in. Yeah.
Thank you.
I want to hear what people have to say.
We're much more in agreement than disagreement.
Great. Good to know. And if you can, stop by your Occupy group and see what's going on, you know?
I will. Thank you.
Welcome.
You know, Glenn, I think it all boils down to what we were talking to at the very beginning, and that is that you have, you know, the movement has great purpose, but they're not getting the word out because they're labeled as thugs, and they don't really seem to have the backup that that other movement had. And they call them patriots, and they call these.
Well, they call Occupy dirty, rotten hippies because there really is no leadership. There's no leadership for them to attack. That's the beauty of the Occupy movement. And guys like Russell Simmons, who would like to co-opt it for the president, most likely, and his election year, are really failing at that. And I think it's pretty gracious of the Occupy DC and OWLS people not to call him out on the Occupy a Dream thing, because really there is no collusion there, but these guys are pressing it to co-opt the Occupy movement. It's just, nothing has happened so far with any Occupy group that actually you can point to and say that there's one leader there. Everything is consensus. And a lot of older people who belong to the Occupy movement, we have a lot of them down here in Florida, who are 60, 70 plus, who are part of our group. I mean, I'd say that 60% of our group are over 65. And, well, hey, I'm in Florida, dude. I'm in Palm Beach.
Yeah, that's right. But you don't think we need a leadership?
No, I don't. I think it's the right idea from the get-go. I think that you and I are both leaders, Jim. I think we're both capable of leading ourselves. I think Pinko the Bear is a leader, and I think that Jack Joe Doe is a leader. I think that we are groups of equals, and I think that every one of the Americans I know, all my neighbors, even my next-door neighbor who's a very Republican kind of dude who's a Florida cracker, let's face it. He's also a kind man who helps me out whenever I need it. Everybody is a leader, and I think when we're all on that even playing field, when we all get down there where we're wondering, you know, you might still have 50 grand in the bank, but you ain't got nothing coming in, and you turn and you look and see your neighbors being kicked out, forced out, evicted out of their homes. When that's going on in every neighborhood, perhaps then maybe it won't go that far, Jim, but I think people are beginning to see those visions, and they're wondering, what does this Occupy movement have to say? And I think they're wondering why they can't hear the message of Occupy. And more people, like yourself, are sort of tuning into social networking or wherever they can find something that says something about Occupy. And a lot of them may not like what they're going to hear, but they're going to at least reflect or see the mirror of honesty in it. I take my Guido mask, you know, my Occupy mask, they call them now, but my rebellion mask, oh, good Lord, Guy Fawkes, my Guido Fawkes mask, and I put it on to go grocery shopping, and I wear it backwards on my head just so people will ask me, what is that all about? And they do. And standing there in front of all of the vegetables or the thing of potatoes, you talk about, I've had Palm Beach Bolsers Sheriff's Office come walking by going, hey, how you doing? Know you. I'm talking to some elderly lady who's saying, what is this all about? Will you please tell me? You know, and
yes,
that's what gets the consciousness up. That's what, you know, you go over to Stop and Shop wearing a Guido mask backwards. First of all, I would tell you to do it sober.
Yes. That's what I'm getting. I mean, yeah, we're leaders and we have direction, but the idea to me is to get somebody to get that point across that there is leadership and we do have a direction. And,
that's the job of who? Who is the leader of this country?
Well,
that's the job of the president. It's my job as a voter. It's my job as someone who cares to be a member of Occupy at this point. And that's my own discernment, you know. My mother raised me to pay attention to my community, to be aware of it, mindful, and to vote, and to know who I was voting for. You know what I'm saying? I'm sure that you have some sort of similar background. You were taught to vote, you know, that's your right.
I was voting for when I voted for Obama. And
me too. I've had friends, in fact, in Thanksgiving I kind of got ganged up on because I was so against, you know, what the president was doing. It only took him signing on New Year's that NDAA piece of paper, and it got real drunk out that night. And the real drunk said, "Oh my God, I don't believe it. You were right," kind of thing. I think we all, Jim, got to make a choice, don't we? And our choices are our own form of leadership. When I say to Brian, you know, you got to have some faith, it also goes hand in hand with making your contribution to the whole, you know? Usually we do it by voting, but that ain't working out so great, is it? It's not
no,
working
it's not.
Out. It didn't work out for Martha Coakley very well, did it?
No, and when we had the first election with Bush stolen,
yeah,
it made me realize that voting, you know, we don't really vote for our president. I mean, you know, the courts elected him. I mean,
yeah, there's a lot of people who have that conversation who are more knowledgeable about that issue than I am. I'm sure Pinko is one of them. The Electoral College and the way that we end up choosing presidents could be very well screwing us out of, you know.
Yeah, it's antiquated and should be done away with. I mean, when we were a young country and everybody couldn't get to the polls and vote, there was a necessity for the college, but not anymore. We can all get there. We can all take care of business. We don't need the college anymore.
Yeah. I don't think it. I think that the majority should rule, and I don't see that would be such a calamity. I think corporations have found it to be a calamity because, you know, of the obvious reasons. It all boils down to profit, and that's what Occupy came to Wall Street to say. Look at these greedy guts. All they're doing is profiting, and they're profiting now illegally on the backs of people who built the country and who keep the country in motion, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I don't really think there's a middle class, Jim, anymore.
No.
I really don't.
No, I wrote a paper, I don't know, maybe probably 6 years ago by now, and actually I sent it to the president and every senator, every single person I could get my hands on so they know what's really happening here. And everybody probably threw them all away. No one ever got back to me. But, you know, you keep hearing reference to the middle class is being destroyed. Why? Why are they doing that? And, I mean, it's by design. And,
oh yeah, it's called wage slavery, and it's basically too one of the largest things that'll stand in its way. And gosh knows, there's a lot of corruption and bent nosery, if you will, in unions. Yet unions are what established some of the best laws of the land as far as us creating a life for ourselves on an equal playing field and
the
getting what
do
we
away
deserve.
With them now.
Oh, do away with them, my God. And that's the mild way to put it. They're trying to chloroform them. I mean,
yeah, that's
just
the coach
and,
for this, and that gets me going on to something else. But, we
yeah,
know, back to the car.
It's happening that way. Yeah, but look what's happening in Wisconsin. I mean, there's a huge fight going on there, a huge fight. And like Pinko was saying earlier about the India factory where the workers revolted,
yeah.
I think that he put into the chat room something on it about a union meeting that's coming up. I'm trying to get back to it because anybody that's going to be listening to this in archive, I want them to know what he had to say. We're a lot of Brian stuff here. I'm looking through the chat right now for the information on India, which I'm not finding because I basically wasn't logged onto the room, and then I logged back out. But, gosh, when you think of the bad shit that's happening over there in India, what's going on in Greece right now, the economies of the Western world are teetering right now, Jim.
Well, that's what I was going to say, austerity.
Yeah. It's pretty awful. And we got jokers like Gingrich and Romney out there. I mean, can you believe that a guy would go out there? I mean, I lived in Massachusetts when he was governor. I thought he was just a big Ken doll with money. And was it his assistant who took his seat? The woman. I can't remember her name. But she became a state senator or something. He really only was in Massachusetts in order to create a platform for himself to run for president. That was what his governorship of the state of Massachusetts was all designed to do for him. That's all.
I think he's gonna get the nomination, and you know, as I said before, whoever does, him or Gingrich, God forbid, you know, Obama's gonna get reelected, and
well, yeah, Obama will wipe the floor rhetorically because he'll use facts,
and it's gonna
more
be
than
hell.
And he'll wipe the floor with these guys. But these guys think that, you know, the really amazing thing is that they think they can beat him. That's the amazing thing.
Yeah, and it's quite laughable. It would be laughable if it wasn't so scary.
I actually, before we shut down here, I do want to remember to mention to everybody that tomorrow we have Wise Woman Media here at 8 p.m. Please, anybody, this evening, if you're up late, if you're having a hard time sleeping, something I often do is come back to BTR and listen to Pinko the Bear from Reno, Nevada. It's always a gas to listen to Pinko's take on the day and what's cooking and what's happening. By the way, Pinko, I really liked the interview of Pinko. That show was good. Please do it again. That was great. And
We'll be back. Oh, and Wednesday we have Practicing Tomorrow with Manny Jalowski from New York, and he'll be talking with some folks in OWS. So you'll get a better anchor of what's going on right now in New York City. And all the contributors that have made the evening worth a good listen, like Jim Joyner and his Average American Patriot blog. You're on Blogspot, aren't you, Jim?
Excuse me?
You're on Blogspot, aren't you?
Yes.
With your blog? Yeah.
But I don't make a point of advertising myself. I figure if there's something that they are interested in, they're going to find a story by me anywhere.
Okay.
As
well,
long as they know who I am. That's what's important.
There you go.
But it was very good, so I want to thank you.
Oh, you're most welcome. Thanks for joining us again. It's been a pleasure. Please come back.
Good night, Gwendolyn.
Good night,
Jim.
Bye-bye. You're welcome. Coming up, been on for 46 minutes, has been Rick Cizek with Progressive News Network. So get on over there and listen to the tail end of the show, or go on into archives and give a listen to Rick. I had forgotten to tout him before the hour was up. So
thank you all for listening. Special appreciation to Brian for coming on and sharing with us. You know, hey, listen, Brian, okie dokie. But you got to roll up your sleeves. Pico the Bear, thank you for being here, my dear. And thanks to Krell. And also, I'm sorry we lost your call. Damn it. Please, folks, go on over to OccupyOakland.org. These people need some money. I mean, if you can give $5, $10, if you can give $500, whatever you can do, please remember they need your help. People got to be bailed out of jail, you know? Anyway, that's part of keeping it going. I will get us out of here tonight with... Actually, I'm not going to go anywhere with it. We've been on for a while. I'm going to shut us down with just a little interlude. Evening with Kirby Monsters. Thank you for tuning in. Tune in again next Friday for Mic Check, Kirby Monsters. And that's at 4 p.m. in the afternoon. And then again, the Sunday show. Don't forget tomorrow night. We have Wise Woman Media with Anita Stewart and her guest. And her guest is not up on the drawing board right now. Lost it. Sorry about that. Wonderful show, though. Check her out. It'll be posted on the social networks. And that's it for this evening.